B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go, Maz.
I'm in. Yeah. Here we go, Paulie.
Who dat?
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Who dat?
I got to get out. Get me some of those rays.
Give us the juice.
Everybody's smiling.
Sunshine day.
Everybody's laughing.
Give us the dirt,
Sunshine
Paulie.
Day.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Let's go. I want the good stuff.
It's a sunshine day. Paul Perillo.
Who dat?
Who dat?
Is not just a award-winning, long-established writer at Patriots.com. He's also sponsored. He's so powerful. Paul Perillo, a.k.a. Mr. Sunshine, is sponsored by Devlin Solar. Get it? Sunshine Day, sunshine.com, Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar helps homeowners utilize the sun to offset their energy bills and provide backup power during a blackout. Visit DevlinSolar.com to get started today. Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. I can attest to it. I'm getting free energy right now as I speak. I think. Is the sun out? I don't even know.
Nope, not today.
Okay. But if it is, I'd be getting free energy. Devlin Solar hooked me up with a great system. So give them a call. Tell them I sent you. How you doing, Pablo?
I missed you last week, Felgie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was on Broadway. What do you want?
I got to tell you, Adam Jones may have submitted the worst rendition of Sunshine Day of
oh,
all
my
time.
God. Did you hear it?
No, I haven't heard it.
Oh, my God. It's hysterical.
Real,
seriously?
Real tonality issue.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow, does he suck as a singer.
So I never thought I'd say it, but I'm glad to have Felger back.
Oh, no question.
Right. It's a more positive experience, if you can believe that. What's your take on Brady Sr. and this whole situation?
Yeah, it's gotten ugly, hasn't it? I mean, I know it, you know, Tom Brady Sr. always said it would end ugly, and it did end ugly, but you'd like to think at this point we'd sort of just be talking about the game. That's forget about the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the Bucs game coming up. But for whatever reason, he's going all on the offensive, and you have to think with the blessing of his son. So game on. Let's dive into everything and
what do you think
overanalyze everything
right.
we can.
What do you think's behind it?
I just think that they're sort of spiteful. You know, I think they were obviously very upset that they – I think Tom wanted to stay. You know, can we agree on that?
That's clear today.
I think when push came to shove, I don't think he wanted to leave. I think he felt like he had no alternative. But then when he did, and then they're able to land on their feet and win a Super Bowl, I think it's all spite, you know, especially with Senior. I think, you know, that clip, and I can't hear it enough, with Zoe and Beetle, you know, and the way he says the word frankly just makes me laugh every time. And quite frankly, we expect to handle it. I mean, it's just all offense all the time for Brady Sr. And, yeah, he's upset. He's hurt. You know, he's hurt.
And when you say he, you mean this, Junior.
Both. But, yeah, you know, obviously the father's protecting the son, you know, like any good parent would. But they're hurt. Their feelings are hurt.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's an important thing for people to remember. Anything that Tom Sr. is saying is ultimately a reflection of what Tom Jr. feels.
Absolutely, and I just think it's, you know, it's such a cop-out for folks out there to say, well, what father wouldn't go to bat for a son? Don't you understand, folks? I mean, it's so easy for Brady Jr., which he's done in the past, to say to the old man, let's, you know.
Zip it.
Yeah, hey, put a cork in it.
We're not saying anything this week, Dad. And like, simple as that, he's done it a million times. I'm sure athletes all over the place have to do this sort of stuff.
Right. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
frankly part. Like, so, this right, is like,
and so here it's just the opposite. So the old man did that a couple months ago. And so Brady knows his dad feels strongly about it. He knows his dad will talk. And it's the simplest thing in the world for Junior to send the old man a text saying, Dad, can we just go easy this week? And that's all it would. And he didn't do it because he knows his dad will. So Brady Jr. wants it out. He's more passive aggressive about this whole
thing. Yeah. I mean, in general, I would agree with you. That's generally been Tom's way, has been a little bit more passive aggressive. But I do think it comes down to a tug of war over credit. And I think Brady winning in Tampa has upped the stakes in that regard. I think Belichick feels a little heat. I'm going to be curious. I'm like everybody else. I don't have the book. You know, that's coming out, the Wickersham book. I'm curious to see how that's, you know, presented, you know, and what the slams are, because I think we're all assuming there's something in there damning toward Brady, and that's why this is sort of a preemptive strike. He's firing back. But I don't know what it's about. I don't pretend to have any inside knowledge on this. I just know that in my mind, those two, Belichick and Brady, are both guilty of wanting the credit. And it's unfortunate because you'd like to think they could just sort of done all this winning and done all this dominating and been able to share the credit and be happy with that, but I don't think that's the case.
So this is me saying this, not you. I think Bill started it.
Me too. I do.
He started it.
I mean, he started this thing about the credit. I think that it comes from Bill, and Brady responds to it. Because, and again, I started bringing this up months ago, years ago, but it just, an emailer asked me this. You know, an emailer said, can you please explain? You guys always say Belichick is obsessed with getting the credit. I don't know where you're getting this. He never says anything. He doesn't take credit ever verbally. Can you explain? Yes, I'll explain. He named his boat the 8 Rings. He's only won 6. He's giving himself credit for 2 rings he won as an assistant. That is the mark of someone who is obsessed with getting credit for things. All right, so that is in your face. You don't need much more than that. But let me give you something more anecdotally, and I won't give you exact details because I've learned them in confidence. But just trust me when I tell you, he cared deeply, deeply, deeply about the Bill Parcells versus Bill Belichick thing, and Bill Parcells always holding him down or keeping him down, and Bill Parcells always taking credit for things that he did, and Bill Belichick cared deeply about his record without Bill Parcells. And Parcells' record without him, he kept track of it. His camp, they knew what his record was without Parcells, and they knew what Parcells' record was without him, and he cared deeply about that. Okay, so if he cared about that, if he cared about Parcells versus Belichick, why wouldn't he care about Belichick versus Brady? So those are my two things.
Can I give you one more?
Yes.
Okay, and we've talked about this on the show, in the education of a coach. After they built this little mini dynasty, and they talk about the 2001 team. How did we win the Super Bowl with this roster? Which was an indictment on the players. Basically, it's basically saying this team wasn't that good, but we coached them to a championship. And he took credit for it.
And that's my anecdotal stuff that I share with you guys once in a while. It's just in conversations with the players over the years. And it's a lot of different era players, you know, guys like Seymour and Brewski and Vrabel. Yeah. And just sort of, you know, it's more than just Bill and Tom. You know, there's a lot of players that made a lot of plays over the years. And that, you know, the feeling doesn't just come out of nothing. It's a slight, right? There's got to be a slight along the way where people feel others are taking the credit or getting all the credit, even if it's not a resentment toward Bill or Tom personally, but just the aura around them that they're always giving credit. You get Bill and Tom, you have a chance, right? How many times have you heard that? I think the players took offense to that. So, yeah, I think there's a willingness to allow that storyline to stay out there.
And that's been there a long time, too. Because, again, Seymour felt that early on. I'll never forget that. I was down there. I think I told you this. I was down there one time asking about Bill's game planning, and Seymour looked like he wanted to grab his helmet and smash me over the head. Like, well, what?
You tend to do that.
So
you elicit that kind of a response.
I mean, so you know, I think that has been there a long, long time, and I think, honestly, Bill kind of built it that way. Like, the whole culture is just buy into the operation, but then he was the operation, so he got the credit. And I think that, you know, it's a hard thing to balance, and I think Bill's way worked. But I think he needed to be more, you know, giving to his players in terms of, and I don't mean just publicly, I mean legitimately.
And let me give you one more email, or just listen to his guys like Mike Lombardi talk, or Matt Patricia, when he's asked about his fourth quarter play calling. And he says, I think I have one of the great fourth quarter plays in Super Bowl history, so I'm all set there. As if he made the play. Like, this is how they talk. And they're hardly alone. I think a lot of coaches do this. And look, they're fighting for jobs. They're fighting for promotions. So someone makes a play, a team wins. A lot of things went into that. So a coordinator wants to let everybody know, no, that was my play call. We worked on that on Friday because he wants the next job. So he's self-promotion. It's really not that complicated. You would just think that after Bill got to a certain spot, he could, you know, lose that.
Right,
thing.
Let it go.
Like, I mean, you've got your job, you've got your contract, you're all set.
You want a couple of subtle ones?
Yeah.
Like the Atlanta Falcons, the America's game, Atlanta Falcons. You know, Dante Hightower gets a strip sack that changes the entire complexion of the second half. Why? Because they knew that that lineman was susceptible to holdings.
Devontae Freeman was bad at picking up the blitz.
Bad at the blitz pickup. They knew it. Nothing that Dante Hightower did. It was because we put him in that position.
I mean, keep going on.
We had to get two point conversions because we knew it was going to be a high scoring game and we were going to be chasing, 25 points in the second. the guy is the greatest coach I've ever seen. But those little subtle comments to me, I can understand why players would have resentment to that because the players are the ones that make the plays.
So if Brady wants credit too, I think he's pushing back against what's coming from Bill first. I think Bill started it and has Brady lowered himself and gotten himself into the arena with it. Maybe, sure. But I don't know if Brady would have gone there if the coach didn't go there first.
Oh, I don't think there's any question he wouldn't have. It's not his nature, not publicly. Again, so Mike, on the field, when he's playing someone nose to nose, he'll trash talk with the best of them.
This feels like a singularly New England Patriot story. Like, I mean, you were huge fans, Maz. You were a huge fan of Montana and the Niners, as was I, any football fan. That was the dynasty before
Absolutely.
This one that defined the league. Do you remember back in the 80s us going, is this Montana or Walsh? I mean, I don't ever remember asking that question.
No.
Having that conversation.
I think a lot of that's probably is a result of how Walsh conducted himself around his team. Walsh came off as this sort of scholarly professor type, very understated.
Father figure.
Yeah, he wasn't a yeller per se either, right? He wasn't a bully. He was more of a surgeon. Right, and his team played that way, and they were gifted, and he talked about Rice, and you always get the sense that when he talked about his players, he meant it.
But you tell, in the 60s, did people go, is this Bart Starr or Vince Lombardi?
No.
I mean, I don't think it ever came up. It didn't come up with the, is this Chuck Knoll or Mean Joe Green? I look back and say it was all the players and not the coach on that team, but in real time, was that debated? I don't know. It feels like this is, it's the thing here. And I think it's because of Bill.
Yeah, that all goes back to Bill and Paul, and I'm sorry.
No,
you're a guest today for crying out loud.
Staying out of it.
It goes, Mike, it goes back to the Giants stuff.
Yeah, so maybe it goes back to us. Go ahead, Miss.
No, Bill was hyped as this prodigy coordinator from the very beginning. Where did all that come from?
And I also think
I don't think Parcells was out there calling the media, you got to get a load of this Belichick kid. He wasn't. It's not Bill's nature, not Parcells' nature, right? Parcells was more inclined to put Bill in his place. So somebody was behind the scenes talking about how great an assistant Bill was, and it was Bill.
And maybe it really ultimately speaks to Bill's disdain for quarterbacks. Do you think he thought that highly of Joe Montana back in the day? No, here's the scheme. I got these players. We're going to neutralize them and crush them. And they did it a few times in some of those NFC Championship games, those playoff games. I just think that maybe this is what this speaks to more than anything else. Brady's just another guy to him.
I love it when we put Bill on the couch. It's tremendous. More psychoanalysis with Paul Perillo. We'll get his thoughts on this team this week.
How about the Saints running game? You guys talking about that at all?
If we get to it, otherwise your calls don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
Again, have we got any explanation for the plural, or is it just an older gentleman kind of losing his place on a slang term or something?
Pete, but I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Damn right.
I would say now forever that term's going to live in Boston sports history.
It should.
Damn right.
I think you're right.
Damn right.
Also, the injection of Felgren Maz math there was.
Oh, love it. Where's he come up with 56?
Yeah.
Stu
threw for 56, he even said, too.
He threw for, which is way off, but Stu said, he says, first of all, I love Tom Brady's senior math. Last season, Brady threw 40 regular season touchdowns, and he had 3 TD runs. In the postseason, he had 10 TD throws and 1 TD run. That all equals 54. Not 56.
So even adding everything together, you can't get to 56.
No.
Any conversions in there?
But then,
pick sixes?
Stu said, I wonder if 2 touchdowns got called back by penalty, Senior just adds them to the list because right now they're kind of obsessed. And he just got... So were there 2 touchdowns called back by the Buccaneers last year that would have been Brady's?
Talk about the irony. Now he's blaming the receivers in the offensive line.
That's Goodell out to get him.
Seriously,
Jim has it. That's probably another rocket shot at Goodell.
All right, let's take some calls for Paulie Paul here on this. John in Quincy. Hi, John.
Hey, I got to preface this by saying, one, I fully admonish the team for letting him go, and 2, I'm a dad myself. But this is like total douche chills. This whole process that he's gone through, I can't like stand it when he inserts himself as we. It's been so obnoxious. We did this and we did that. Like, what the hell has Tom Brady Sr. ever done on a football field?
Did you feel the same way when he called the San Francisco sports radio station and ripped Goodell for Deflategate? Did you say the same thing then?
They were up to something on Deflategate, so I probably was. I don't think I caught that immediately. But I understand, like, defending your kid. But the we stuff is really, really cringy.
Okay, I mean, fair enough. Look, if you felt the same way about Tom Sr. when Brady was still here that you do now, then I'll let you off. But I think the vast, vast majority of you were more than happy to hear Tom Sr. puff his chest out and do his thing when Brady was your guy and you were defending the wall. And then you're like, yeah, Tom Sr., you go. You give it to him. I remember. I remember it. You loved when Tom Sr. was ripping it down and all that. You loved him for it. But now he's coming after you. So now? Now he's injecting himself and get over it, old man. No place for that at the table here. Call someone else. Call Barstool, you know, on that one. not here. Christian's in Foxborough. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's going on? So I don't know if you guys saw Tommy and Gronky there in the kiddie pool the other day, but Tom said he's never seen a better Gronk, which just made me want to throw in my mouth. But do you guys think that was a trolling shot at Bill, or do you think those comments are legit, and legit as in terms of this is the best that Gronk's, you know, Brady's ever seen Gronk?
Sure.
If that's true, I mean, I'm just absolutely petrified to, you know, what's come week 4 and the rest of the year. Have a good one.
Paul, your thoughts on Gronkowski in this whole drama?
Yeah, I wonder about things like that too, but he does look, doesn't he look different than last year, even?
Sensational.
Way.
You know, because I thought he looked a little quick at times last year, but it wasn't really, it looked like he wasn't quite in football shape.
Not until the postseason did he kind of look like himself.
Right. Now, this year, to start the season, he looks, I mean, at a level above anything
Found
I saw
youth.
Last year. Yeah, I wonder what they do. Oh,
never mind. Sorry.
That is worrisome for week 4, but I wonder how long Gronk can keep that up, though.
Does Gronkowski get a tribute?
Now, that's a great question.
So he should.
I mean, so he ended, it both ended poorly, you know, obviously, but he quit on the team. You know, Brady at least played
it out. I don't think he does, and I think it's different. Like Julian Edelman, you know, we're going to honor Julian Edelman on Sunday against the Saints. I know you guys have looked past that game.
I'm sorry, there's a game this week?
You're not alone either. I mean, we did a lot of it on Patriots.com today, too. We didn't get much into the matchups of the Saints game.
Who that going to watch that game?
But we're going to – I think Gronk would probably be in line for a day like that when he ultimately is done for good. Brady's different. Brady – I mean, I don't think you can have one of those during the game. I mean, you can be like the Celtics and do one, you know, for every guy that's ever played.
Exactly.
But I think that the thing is here for Brady is different. I think you honor Brady and Gronk at some point down the road, you get a Julian Edelman treatment, which I think will be a good thing for Jules.
Ooh, excuse me. It's okay. You
just
choked on that
just
too.
Lost a little
right.
bit.
I mean, maybe that's the way you do the video is, you know,
no.
Brady to Gronk highlights.
Oh God.
You get him, and that way you can minimize the attention on Brady if you're the Patriots.
Oh yeah, well, give Gronkowski one and not Brady.
We're not going to be petty about this as an organization. And yes, I said we because I work there. The video is going to be a tribute to Brady. They're going to have a video.
You've seen it.
I have not seen it.
But you know what's going about on?
It's going to be all passes to Gronk, and Tony's going to be texting me in the middle of it.
What do you know? What are you allowed to divulge?
I don't know. We talked about this off the air a little bit. I know we are doing something. I don't know exactly when it's going to be presented. I don't know how long, and I don't know what stage. My guess is it's going to be before the game, in between that period where warm-ups and when they come back out to start the game. I don't think you need to have all of the players on the field while you're, you know, offering a tribute to the opponent.
Perfect time to do it.
But don't you I mean, you have to do something.
I think.
So the players don't see it.
And so, right. But to me, my big hang-up, and maybe it's just me, so I'll granted, maybe this is just a me thing, but I think the team has to tread lightly of not celebrating Brady in front of their own players who are out to defeat him in this game. And that's just sort of throwing your own players under the bus by celebrating an opponent.
It is. And it's one of the things that, you know, and I'm not going to give away any secrets or anything like that, but it has been talked about. We have been part of some meetings, some of them which I've been involved in, and some of them have been above me. But it's a balance. It's a delicate balance. You know, you want to make sure you do the right thing. I think that, you know, I think that's the bottom line that you always come away with is it should never be the wrong, you know, a hard thing to do to do the right thing. I think this is a guy who gave the Patriots an awful lot of success over the span of two decades. You have to honor him, but you want to strike that balance between showing respect for him and doing the right thing and then going overboard. I think it's a hard thing to do.
That time between the warm-ups and when the game starts, when they go back into the tunnel, into the locker room for whatever that is, 20, 15 minutes, and the building's starting to get full, is the perfect time to do it. So the players aren't on the field.
Yeah, and look again. See, but as Paul was speaking there, I heard the crafts, right? Like, I think that they look at it that way. I think Bill would take the video and shove it.
Okay, he'd stomp on it like they did the old Spygate tapes. We can talk about that coming up next, too, if you want, Paul. Here's an update from Big Jim.
Alvin Kamara, how did they stop him?
We'll see if we can get to the Saints coming up here again after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, fine. How do you feel about the Patriots this week, Paul?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a really, really strange game and an interesting game because you'd be hard-pressed to find a team that played two more different games than New Orleans did in their first two games. They looked really good and really bad. I think Carolina is pretty good defensively. I think that had something to do with how bad they looked. But there's no real weapons on the Saints. And
Kamara?
Other than Kamara. I meant more in the passing game. For all the grief we give the Patriots and their lack of weapons and the lack of depth of weapons, they're a lot better than New Orleans right now.
Wow.
With Michael Thomas out, you take Thomas out of the equation, which he will be for at least 6 weeks. You're dealing with, stop me when you know these guys. Little Jordan Humphrey.
Don't know.
Marquez Callaway.
Mm-mm. His name's Little Jordan?
Lil
Jordan?
Yes, Captain Obvious.
Is that literally?
Lil Jordan Humphrey.
That's literally how he goes by?
That's his name. That's how he's listed. Anyway.
I'd drop the Lil if I were an NFL player, but go ahead.
Yeah. Marquez Callaway came on last year for a bit. He did okay.
He had
last
a good
year.
Preseason, but he's done nothing so far. Deontay Harris.
I saw the kid in the preseason.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
he had some long catches from
James
Winston. And Chris Hogan's there. He's still part of the equation, but they haven't. I think their leading receiver is Kamara with 7 receptions in 2 games. So they don't have a lot of options if Kamara gets shut down. Carolina completely shut Kamara down. I think he had 8 carries for 5 yards. So I think that's the contrast you're looking at. The Patriots allowed 152 yards on the ground to the Jets. I think they ran the ball early in the game. I don't think they were plastic yards. Mm-hmm. I think they got run on a little bit. It's been a problem the last couple of years. I have to think that the guy that Bill Belichick is going to focus on is Kamara.
Absolutely.
And generally when he does that, he contains it. So I think it comes down to Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston protects the ball, I think they'll have an opportunity to score some points.
He won't.
If he doesn't protect the ball, the Patriots will win the game, much in the manner that they did last week.
I like the under.
I like the under as well.
What's your biggest concern with the Patriots right now?
Twofold. The one would be defensively, just in general. I think that last week, you know, when they're forcing turnovers and taking the ball away, I think everything looks better than it was. I think if a team can sort of be efficient in the passing game and run the ball the way the Jets did, they can control the ball like the way New York did. And the second part of that is the offensive line was supposed to be a huge, huge plus for the Patriots. And then through two games, it really hasn't been. I don't know how much of that is just about Trent Brown. But if it's all about just missing a right tackle and it's sort of a pedestrian offensive line, then I don't think it's the strength it was supposed to be. They haven't run the ball as effectively as I think they felt like they would. And I think that was at least part of the reason Josh McDaniels was a little conservative on Sunday. They got a lot of pressure. New York had, and they didn't blitz very much. They got pressure with four guys. I think the one thing, if you sort of looking at Mac Jones in the first two games, the one thing I would say is when he has dealt with the pass rush, there have been times where he hasn't looked all that comfortable. I think he's been a little loose with the football. The first play that everybody talked about where he turned around and threw it backwards to Jonnu Smith was not a good look. The intentional grounding was not a good look this week. He did get strip sacked another time. So maybe that's part of the reason why Josh McDaniels was like, we can't call too many shots here until we're a little bit more comfortable with the protection he's going to get.
Give me a grade on Mac Jones overall through 2 weeks.
Solid B+. I think his efficiency is off the charts, obviously. He has proven to be able to make the short throws. I think he does a good job of commanding things. It certainly looked like he got out of a play on Sunday to throw the deep ball down the sideline to Jacoby Myers. Love those kinds of throws where you could put some touch on it down the field. But at the same time, I think you've seen some of the limitations he's had where he's been trying to move around the pocket and make a throw. I think he one-hopped Hunter Henry on one. And again, with the pressure, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I told you I feel like young quarterbacks tend to take some sacks, and we've seen that a little bit. He's been sacked four times. And I think he did a good job against Miami of beating the blitz. And I think what you saw with the Jets was, you know, if we flood a little bit more with coverage and get pressure, we can fluster him a little bit. So I think he's been good, but I want to see some more too.
Okay, good talk. Back to Brady right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth.
So Tom Jr. pleads the fifth, his father not afraid. How do you think Tom handles the questions when they actually come to him starting next week? I mean, if not this week, I don't know if Brady's doing live press conferences or not. There's a big difference between Zoom and live. You know, live, you can just blurt out whatever you want. The Zoom stuff, they can really manage who's asking the question, and therefore they know what question is going to be asked. But how does Brady handle the questions?
I don't think he gets into it. Do you? I mean, I feel like he's going to go back to the regular guarded Brady and take the high road. I can't imagine that he's gonna get in the muck like that.
No way he does. No, he'll go back to the, you know, Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, that was then. This is now. I'm here to talk about just the game. That's all it'll be.
You know, I had a lot of good years at the Patriots. I'm appreciative of everything they did for me, you know. But, you know, we have a game to play now. And we're 3-0. We're 2-1. We're coming off a loss to the Rams. And we need to focus and play well. It'll be that kind of bull crap.
It might be a little wishful thinking on my part, too, because, I mean, I don't like to see this crap. I know it's great for what we do.
You don't like to see this crap?
No.
Well, we love it.
Please, don't mistake that. Like, I'm talking about just, you know, little Paul as a fan.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the fact that it's getting to this. You know, for what we do, obviously, it makes our jobs easier, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and, you know, and people are interested in that. So that's ultimately what we want. But there's part of me that's like, you know, Mr. Brady, you really have to be doing this? You know, like, can't we just agree that, you know, both sides had a lot to do with it? You had the greatest coach and greatest quarterback winning at a level that no one's ever going to achieve again.
Let me tell you, if it turns out that there's really nothing in the book to get bent out of shape about, and there was really nothing behind the scenes, that Brady and his father are just scratching an itch from 2 years ago, I'll actually come down on him. I mean, I think if that's the case, then they do look bad. Like, guys, you proved your point. You were right. You won.
So how did you guys not get this book yet?
Oh, they got it, like, under wraps.
And yep. Jimmy's asked for it multiple times. They're purposely not sending it because they know the show will talk about it. That's why. Because there's an embargo, obviously. Anyone that has it has zipped up.
Not just talk about it, but, like, I mean, I've got Seth's story from ESPN.com in 2018 printed out to go at the ready.
Mike's got fresh highlighters ready to go.
I've got highlighters. I got – so, like, we'll you know – we'll circumcise the mosquito and get, because we were so versed on all the details, any little thing we'll know and blow up. And it's true. We will blow it up, but I'm just saying if they're just like blowing the Patriots over what happened 2 years ago, you know, that is small, guys. If, however, there is something that has happened in the interim, which I believe, whether there was something from the book or something else that sort of triggered them, then I get it. You know, if they're going to once again try to diminish your accomplishments in this book or in any way, shape, or form, or if they're going to throw you under the bus in any way, shape, or form after the fact, then you have a right to defend yourself and go nuts. It's really going to depend what's in that book or whatever else happened this offseason.
Something happened. Something happened.
I think so too.
Yeah, and it could, you know, it might be as simple as Bill never even like acknowledging the fact that Tom won another Super Bowl and refuses to give him props for it.
And I think that's garbage too. They worked together for 20 years. It's like you're tied at the hip with this guy. He just accomplished something great. You're going to let Linda or Nike or someone just give half a nod to Brady. Like, never mind yourself.
Nike.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, honestly, I think Bill has a hard time bringing himself to do it because to acknowledge. And look, he said a lot of nice things about Brady along the way.
He has.
No quarterback I'd rather have than Tom Brady. But did any of it ever sound genuine or sincere? In other words, and look, I guess some of it did. I shouldn't even say that either. But I wonder if he ever said to him, hey, you know, even when he was leaving, Tom, listen, I'm sorry you came to this, but you know what? We had a good run. Like, just something human.
Of course. I don't think they've spoken. That's why Chris asked him, have you reached out to Tom? I don't think they've even spoken since that happened. So maybe that set him off, which I don't know if that qualifies as enough for me. You know, really? That's what it, you, aw, he didn't call you? So now you're going to go on this offensive? Like, that doesn't look good for Brady. No, it's got to be more than that. We'll see how it all plays out. Do you think in any way, shape, or form this is a distraction to the team? It's a tremendous distraction for us. It's like we're not even paying attention to the Saints. Do you think that seeps in at all down there?
We were wondering that, you know, talking about it today. And I can't imagine that football, you know, the coaching staff itself is enjoying any of this, all of this talk. Now, I do think it helps. You made the comment a little while ago about not being in the locker room and not having it sort of envelop them at all times, because that's all anyone's talking about. No one's talking about the Saints game at all, but they are, because we're not in there to talk about this stuff in front of them. So I don't think it's a huge distraction for them. Now, next week will be a different story. I think that will be a circus.
Do you think it impacts the game plan at all, or has impacted the game plans? Do you think Bill, look, I know Bill's holding stuff back. He always does. He builds towards October, November, et cetera. You don't empty. No coach does, I guess. Empty the freaking playbook.
Yeah. That to me is a semantic thing. I think that
could he be holding things for the Bucks?
Yeah. I don't know if it's a holding back, but no, I don't think that the team has everything at its disposal when it starts the season. I don't think any team does. So I think that Mac Jones will be able to do more things as more gets installed as they go. You know, does he have every single play that the Patriots have at their disposal at the ready? No. It's week three.
Michael, may I answer that question for you?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yes, he's holding stuff back.
Yeah, I mean,
of course he is. So let me tell you what I think they're holding back, Paul. Throwing the ball downfield. Like, yeah. And again, they did in the preseason, Paul. Mac Jones did it in the preseason, and I think that if you're going to beat Tampa, you have to throw on their corners and you got to throw the ball down the field. I think Tampa's front seven.
So how many times?
Enough to get big plays out of it.
Oh, okay. So you have to hit them.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, but to hit them, you have to throw them, Paul.
But how many did they throw in the preseason?
Okay, a handful.
Okay, and they haven't thrown a handful?
In these games?
Yeah, like the throw to Myers, the throw to Henry.
No, the throw to White,
those aren't down the field?
No.
Not really.
I mean, the one to White, I wouldn't quite. It's a wheel route to a running back.
No, I understand that, but I don't think that they threw a tremendous amount of deep balls in the preseason.
I can think of like two.
Well, they threw them to White.
One to Harry and one to Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
That's true.
Okay, I'll take two.
He hit them both.
Yeah.
Well, he missed them both, but they were both good throws.
What I mean is he hit them.
Yeah, he had two excellent throws. Yeah.
But to beat Tampa, I think that's how you have to do it.
No, I would agree, but I don't necessarily think they're holding back for Tampa. I think that's coming. I think as he gets more comfortable. I'll tell you one thing, and I saw a lot of people tweet out the double pass. Aguilar was there.
Damn straight he was.
Aguilar was there. A lot of people are saying like he made the right play.
No.
I think that was a touchdown.
When I finally saw it from up top, he was definitely open.
So do you think Josh McDaniels didn't want him to throw it to Aguilar?
No, I think so.
This is my point. Like, I don't think it's getting held back. I think he's getting more comfortable.
Some stuff is. When they're first and goal at the five with 5 minutes left and they run it four straight times.
But that's just sound football. Run the clock. Get out of there.
Paul.
Run the clock and get out of there. There's 5 minutes left. What could happen that could get you in trouble? Only one thing.
Pick.
A pick six.
How does it
not
get
even
you in
a pick?
Trouble?
A pick
was,
six.
Was, yeah, pick six. It was 22-6 with four and a half minutes left.
And Bill just plays the odds. He's playing the clock.
That's a two-score game.
Oh, a normal year against the Jets, he's putting another seven on the board and shoving it in their face.
When he has Brady.
Bingo. Because he knows he's not going to get the pick six.
It's all about Tom.
He doesn't know he's not going to get the pick six right now.
All right.
Just reminding you that is the focus of the program.
I don't agree, but it is 5 o'clock. So
you
Paul,
guys can get back to your Brady song.
Yeah, we will. Believe me, we will.
Brady. Right. Jim, good to see you.
Yeah, you too, Paul.
See you next week, Paulie. 90 seconds, no commercials when we come back. We get your reaction again to the escalating tensions, the ramping up of the temperature from the Brady camp ahead of Brady at Patriots next Sunday. Is there a game this Sunday again? I keep forgetting. And we'll get your reaction to Tom Senior continuing to throw it in the face of Bill Belichick. Don't go anywhere. Again, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.